Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into albums from some of our favorite artists, track by track.
Today, we're continuing with Ayer's Pocket Symphony. We're finishing it.
And a little about Pocket Symphony. It was released on March 5th, 2007 on Virgin Records.
Yes. And if this album had a theme, would you say it's Japan?
Yeah. I would. I mean, they've talked about loving Japan. In fact, for researching tonight, I read that somebody in a YouTube comment said that they got to meet them once, and they asked them what their favorite city was.
That's cool.
And they said Tokyo.
Yeah, I think that's my second place that I'd like to visit.
Next.
I mean, it's my top two. My second on my list.
And what are the songs in this episode?
Photograph. Mer du Japon.
Lost Message. Somewhere between Walking and Sleeping.
Waking and Sleeping.
Waking and Sleeping.
Redhead Girl and Night Sight. So,
let's start with track 7, Photograph. Did this chart all? Because this was a single, right? No.
No, it's not a single.
Oh. So, okay.
Yeah, it didn't chart.
What's your first impression of this song?
My first impression is that this is a lovely song that combines mystery, beauty, and obsession.
Like you.
It's a gentle, dreamy track with a nostalgic feel.
And I think it revisits some of, like, Moon Safari sounds.
Yeah.
But it adds kind of like a spookiness to it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about production.
Well, it's notable for its minimalistic arrangement, blending acoustic guitar with subtle electronic elements. The use of silence is cool.
What do you mean by use of silence?
I think how there's like breaks, like it just like everything cuts out, kind of
like where there's no,
or like fades out and you're like, oh, is it done? And it's like, oh no.
It's also got piano and some soft percussion. Is soft percussion like because you hit it softer or it's lower volume?
Both.
Okay. Chimes, a glockenspiel, acoustic guitar, a tambourine, a flute.
Yeah, the flute.
Anything else?
Of course, since it's a beautiful combo. There's no denying it.
Anything you have to mention?
I have to mention the flute on this album is done by Magic Malik. Yeah. And Nicola said they wanted to get to the blaxploitation cinematic vibe of Premier Symptom, where the music is suspenseful and it has a groove.
Is that that's a film?
No, that was their second kind of side album that they put out after Moon Safari. Yeah. It was the stuff that they made before Moon Safari.
Okay.
Yeah.
We didn't do that one.
No. Do you want to?
I'm just saying, you're very rigid about wanting to do them in order.
Well, it's more like a side project, okay. Not a studio album. Or it's like their singles that they put out before Moon Safari.
Awesome. Tell us about the lyrics.
The lyrics. God would like to own your autograph. The angels cry to have your photograph. So it just kind of reminds me of like celebrity culture and the ridiculousness of putting people on pedestal.
Yeah.
It's just a funny image.
What do you interpret this song to be?
I feel like it's kind of stalkery. It feels obsessive and it feels romantic.
Basically it's
provocative. It's I think I got the stalkery because it sounds suspenseful, and then I got the romantic because the moods kind of shift in this song, like back and forth.
Yeah.
It's like scary and it's okay.
And what was the original title of the song?
The original title was Message for a Rock Star.
It's right there in the notes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I had to think about it.
Oh, okay. Are you already knew that?
Yeah. Okay. Everyone knows. And the idea was that you're such a great rock star that God is a fan of yours. That's funny.
Yeah. I feel like there's some out there.
Yeah.
I like Love to Share just because it's like, you know, it's part of their message.
Love is to share.
It gets deeper the more you think about it.
As far as cultural impact goes, Air performed Photograph from 2007 to 2008.
I don't know if cultural impact is just performances.
Yeah, I'd say it was because they're performing to a bunch of people in different cities.
Okay.
So affecting different cultures. So it's a cultural impact. Don't question my work ethic. I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this long for you.
All right, what are the critics saying?
This track has been praised for its minimalistic beauty and nostalgic atmosphere. It's seen as a prime example of Air's ability to evoke deep emotions with subtle arrangements. And AllMusic said, highlighted the track as a melancholic yet comforting, capturing the essence of a fleeting memory.
Those are very poetic reviews.
Somebody wants to get paid.
And it was also featured in one of your favorite shows.
No, this is your favorite, actually.
Oh, don't project.
You bitch.
What show was that?
That would be the show Gossip Girl.
Which one? The original or the current one?
Yes, the original with Blake Lively. And I only know that because you've been talking about it for the last month, and then I finally put it on for you. You just always want to watch it twice a week. What is it about Gossip Girl? Let's talk about that.
We're just both watching it for the first time.
Okay.
And just when B&S had built a bridge, it all had to come crashing down. But dry your eyes. The Kiss on the Lips party is around the corner. And you know who loves parties? Gossip Girl.
Speaking of Gossip Girl, what's the best cocktail in pairing?
Lavender lemonade gin fizz. That sounds good.
Yeah.
It's a refreshing floral cocktail that balances the lightness of lavender with the tartness of lemon, topped with fizzy soda water. It's delicate, nostalgic, and perfect for a dreamy track like Photograph.
Do you agree with that?
I'd prefer something a bit like scotch.
Okay.
Warmer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll always pick scotch.
It's just not the vibe. It doesn't feel completely right.
The lavender lemonade.
Yeah, it's more like a summer drink.
Yeah. Well, so what? But what? Let's say that you were having this lavender lemonade gin fizz. What would be the perfect pairing?
Goat cheese crostini with honey.
What's a crostini?
It's the creaminess of goat cheese. And sweetness of honey complement the cocktail's floral and citrus notes. Did that answer your question?
So the crostini is the description?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crostini. Somebody that lives in New Jersey. I don't know.
That's Bernice's husband.
Christini. Do you spell Christina wrong?
Right. It's somebody who likes Christ and martinis.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right, let's move to track 8. Mer du Japon.
Mer du Japon.
How did it do in the charts?
Well, it was released as a single, but it received airplay on alternative radio stations, but it didn't chart significantly.
Yeah, I looked it up. It didn't. It wasn't in any charts.
Wonder why?
Yeah. I wonder how many songs in a particular market, like dance or R&B or whatever, at any given time are fighting for that top 100 spot.
I certainly am not.
No, you know, is it like you're competing against 1,000 other artists for to get on that spot, or 10,000, or a million, or
I couldn't tell
500?
You.
It probably depends on the market. Like pop, probably would be a lot more people you're competing against.
Sure, sounds good. All right. Well, my first impression about this song is this is a French song, which means. Anyway, this is a French song that means Sea of Japan, and it is the most upbeat song on the album. And it is the second single off the album, like we said.
And Air was obviously into Japan at the time, especially after creating the song Alone in Kyoto for Lost in Translation.
And I get that, because Japan was quite trendy in the early 2000s, don't you think?
Yeah. That's true.
You got Kill Bill, Lost in Translation.
You feeling free?
What?
Are you feeling free?
Well, this is the only song that rises to a groove, and I think one of the album's best track.
Do you?
No.
I do. I think it's one of the best tracks on the album.
Tell me why.
I don't know, because it sounds kind of like talkie-walkie-ish.
Oh, I guess I can see that, because, like,
Well, there's no beating my balls.
I won't do that again. Yeah.
You can see why?
Let's get into production.
Wait, you were saying you can see why it would be kind of like something on talkie-walkie.
Yeah, because it's upbeat and fast, like yeah. I said. Light. Feels kind of, there's something kind of naive about it, so it feels younger than this album.
Yeah. That's maybe why I like it. All right.
Because you're immature. My name is Bernice.
Tell us what you know about production on this song.
This is what Athena's going to become. There's looping, hypnotic rhythm with piano, bass, synths, and Nico played the drums, tambourine, and the koto, giving it an otherworldly feel.
And then at one point the song slows down and then it speeds up again.
That's awesome. And JB said the production feels like a Taxi Girl song, which is Mira Weiss's first band.
Oh.
Have you heard Taxi Girl?
No.
Me neither. I'm excited to check this out.
Yeah.
Let's check it out.
No, but you know how some songs... We were watching that thing where it was like the 3-chord songs, remember? It was like the songs that only have 3...
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of popular... No, I can't remember one of them. But I feel like some songs just are kind of have the same tempo through the whole song, and some songs like speed up and slow down.
Yeah. Know? All the possibilities. Well, we need to talk about lyrics, though. Because the lyrics are... Je ne fais la raison dans la mer du Japon. Which means I am losing my mind in the sea of Japan.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't speak French.
Well, Nicholas said it was haiku music. So it must have been from a Japanese poem or a haiku.
No, I think they were saying it reads like a haiku.
Oh. That's that makes more sense.
So JB said, when you go to Los Angeles or Japan, there is something special in the air, and we wanted to capture the special Pacific touch. It's almost like a perfume.
What do you think that perfume would smell like?
They're comparing Los Angeles with Japan? Maybe, yeah. I don't want to go anymore.
No. They're comparing it because Japan is on one edge of the Pacific Ocean and LA is on the other end.
Oh, and so something they're both in between, there's this feel.
Yes. Because they're both on the Pacific.
Cherry blossom pollution. Trash. No, it's like a cherry blossom in
car exhaust.
Fentanyl. Yeah, car exhaust.
All right, does this have a music video?
The video is directed by Guillaume de la Pavière with choreography by Angeline Perlechocage. And this is Guillaume's only video credit. And he also choreographed the ballet Near Life Experience, which Eric did the music for. I think we talked about them last time. Didn't have much to say, but...
No. But the video is kind of boring.
I mean, the river there is not on say. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. You said the video was boring?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You know, it felt kind of objectifying as well because the girls kiss and their asses are showing.
But how is it different than Bjork and... Bjork and
like All Is Full Love?
No. Arca.
Oh.
The Bjork Arca video where they're like, you know, dueling.
No, that was Rosalia.
Rosalia, sorry. That's who I first thought.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking
where of did we go?
Critic reviews.
So one said, Mer du Japon stands out as one of the album's more rhythmically engaging tracks. And what did Pitchfork say?
They said they appreciated its hypnotic rhythm and Japanese influence, noting how the traditional koto blends with seamlessly with electronic elements to create a unique sonic landscape, naming the Chris Menace remix as one of their top 100.
Have you heard the Chris Menace remix?
Yeah. Why don't I just play it for you?
Okay.
All right. Now, tell me about trivia.
Well, this song was performed from 2007 to 2008, including a private concert at La Plan Saint-Denis in Paris.
Oh, yes. And they also did a live performance.
Gooning tour over there.
This podcast, I just love it. They also did a live performance on KCRW for Morning Becomes Eclectic.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's cool. Okay. Let's check it out.
What about other versions or covers?
Like we're talking about, it was remixed by Chris Menace and The Teenagers and Silver X.
Then there's also a simplistic remix that's really good. And my favorite is the Commissar Keller Cherry Blossom remix.
Everybody loves to remix it. And
it's the only one on this whole album that had remixes.
Yes, but the radio version has like added vocals, and there's like speaking something Japanese. I just noticed that today while watching the music video. So check that out.
Tell us about a listener. What are listeners saying?
I don't know. You tell me.
You tell me. You speak French.
Someone said the best clip, sensual, non-vulgar. That I don't understand. In short, pure beauty.
That's just a translation from the French. That's above.
I thought that was a sad face. I don't know. I'll try to pronounce this. Meilleur clip, sensuel, non vulgaire, ne les chemrons, bref, la beauté pure.
What's the Shenron?
You could have been talking about meatballs and spaghetti, and I wouldn't know.
Who's the Shenron?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, what's the best cocktail?
It's called the Umeboshi Sour. And it's a Japanese-inspired sour cocktail made with umeboshi, which is pickled plum, syrup, soju, and a touch of yuzu juice.
That's interesting. I want to try it.
Me too.
And getting good at these cocktails.
And it's it goes well with sushi or sashimi.
Very good. Doing better than last time.
Oh, these are some chips I found. They're Koikya Super Mucho Sour Plum Chips.
That's awesome.
And it says...
Super Mucho.
It says...
That's my nickname.
And it says, don't be fooled by the pretty pink packaging. These
Whatever.
These Umi Plum Chips pack a sour punch. Look, plum chips that are sour, like sour gummy bears. And they're chips.
These are from Japan?
Yeah. We're going to get some.
It's awesome.
Man, I miss that, the Japanese grocery in Seattle.
Oh, H Mart.
Yeah.
They don't have an H Mart in San Francisco?
I haven't seen one.
I'm sure like somewhere in Japantown.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, let's talk about Track 9.
I missed it too. You just reminded me of it. I haven't thought about it.
Okay. Speaking of
lost message.
Lost message. It did not chart. What's your first impression?
My first impression is that this is an instrumental that sounds like an after-school special. Or it's on a soundtrack for a cute K-drama.
It's a K-drama.
You know, Korean drama.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say it's just beautiful, and it's kind of part Lamont Young in Depeche Mode.
Who's Lamont Young?
Well, let's take a listen.
Nah, I don't like it.
You're going to regret saying that.
I need
that.
More whiskey.
All right, I'll get some whiskey and you tell us about production since you're the musician.
We're drinking Japanese whiskey right now. All right. So it sounds like a more positive version of High School Lover from The Virgin Suicides. Or it sounds like something you'd hear on a Studio Ghibli film. Oh, a Studio Ghibli version of that film. Can you imagine? There's piano and synths, the Memory Moog, and a Kodo. And Airstead, it's so Satie and so French. It sounds so different. And in my mind, I see a sort of fresh, modern Emmanuel soundtrack. It's really erotic. Oh, what is that?
It's a film.
About what? Tell me.
It's kind of like a Lolita.
Like a French?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's famous.
All right, well, I'll have to check it out. So... Yeah, but I can see what he was saying about Eric Satie, the gymno with the gymno petty piece. You ever hear it?
No. Okay, this is the poster.
Uh-oh.
For Emmanuel. Look what it says in the...
It's a porno.
No, it was like, it was supposed to be like a, it was one of the first X-rated movies that was not triple X. Huh. You know, like Showgirls was X, but they still showed it in some theaters. And then they did an R version of it.
I see. NC-17.
Yeah. The wife of a French diplomat in Bangkok embarks on a voyage of self-discovery. That's what it's about.
Eat, Pray, Love.
Mm-mm. Did you finish talking about...
What's in here?
It's just...
That's too much.
It did not taste like scotch.
Sorry, you were saying?
Was that in a production?
Yeah.
But you didn't talk about the Eric's... The...
Yeah, it said it sounds like Eric Satie's gymno petty piece.
Oh.
I said, you ever hear? And you were like, no. Well, tell me about what critic reviews you got.
This instrumental piece has been described as Eno-esque.
I can see that.
By Amazon Music. For its ambient qualities and drawing comparisons to the work of the legendary Brian Eno.
Awesome.
Possum.
Is he still alive?
I don't know.
The truck's minimalist piano line.
If he is, we should put him on our list.
Oh, man. Of, like, what do they call it? Hall pass people?
Hall pass people? That sounds racist.
You know what a hall pass is.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Taking a picture of me?
I got things I got going on.
Oh, man. Yeah, the track's minimalist piano line and icy synths create a feeling of introspection and solitude, making it a favorite among fans of Eyre's more atmospheric work.
And what about alternate versions or covers?
There's an oncoming Martian version by Marco Montagnini. Sweet. What have listeners said?
Hold on.
That's what they said? Hold my beer, girl.
Yeah, Brian is still alive and looking kind of, you know.
Like a snack? So you want to put him on our hall pass list? Okay. Okay.
It's weird you don't hear of him artistically. Or I haven't.
No. Maybe he's got a mansion.
Okay. So that's it?
Yeah. That's when you know you can just don't lift a finger anymore. What do listeners have to say? Why haven't you told me?
One listener said, memories of daydreams, long gone, long dead.
That's a little too goth for this song.
That is kind of intense. It
sounds like something you'd put on a Cure song.
Somebody should make those signs for your house, but with like goth, really depressing sayings. You know, like live, laugh, love.
Oh, yeah.
But with like cute
memories of daydreams, long dead. Okay. I'm sure my grandma would be like, oh, that's sweet.
Which grandma?
You never know.
Okay, best cocktail and the pairing for it.
Before I forget, have you ever had a lost message?
And you?
Sometimes just talking to someone is a lost message. Because they just don't understand what you're saying.
Sometimes people are lost messages.
This song is a lost message.
Full circle.
Cocktail is smoked maple old-fashioned. Sounds good.
You had a smoky drink the other night that was really smoky.
Yeah, it was cool.
Okay. It's a classic old-fashioned with a twist. It's got smoked maple syrup in it. And then a spritz of smoked cedar enhances the cocktail's complexity. Yeah, like the song.
Yeah, and before I move on, what if you had a drink that was hot boxed with weed?
That'd be easy to do.
Or cigarettes.
I don't know. Cigarettes, I could...
Athena would love that. Sorry, I don't know why I'm out for her.
What would you pair this with?
The smoked flavors and richness of the cocktail pair well with a variety of meats, cheeses, and nuts.
Like a charcuterie board?
Yeah. How did you know?
It's just funny, like, why would you describe something by what's in it? You're like, would you like a banana, two scoops of ice cream, some nuts, some whipped cream, and a cherry? No, you'd say, do you want a banana split?
Or put your hands around my skin, flesh, and muscles, and bones.
Fat.
On the dance floor.
What? Okay.
Are we
gonna... We're at track 10?
10. Yeah, somewhere between waking and sleeping.
Without blindness, there is no sight.
And this track feels very adult, and it has Neil Hannon from the Divine Comedy on vocals.
Do you like the Divine Comedy?
I tried to check him out. I mean, it's basically his alias. And I tried to check him out this morning, and I don't know. It's kind of like Elvis Costello, Sufjan Stevens, maybe?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think it's a somber, scary song about death.
You've heard the Divine Comedy?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying my thought about the song.
What were your first impressions?
I already said.
Okay.
It's like a somber, scary song.
To give you some background, this song was originally written by Neil Hannon and Jarvis Cocker for Charlotte Gainsbourg's album 555, and they even recorded a version with her, but it didn't end up on her album.
And I agree, it does, I feel like it has kind of the Sufjan Stevens kind of vibe. See?
Great minds.
What about production?
It has piano, acoustic guitar, vibraphones, Kodo synths, and strings.
And the strings are done by David Campbell, who is the father of Beck.
That's cool.
Or Beck's father, as some would say.
So they collaborated with both father and son. What do you know? Wow, we got some lyrics.
Oh, I spilled this all over me.
Here we go. Viewed from the wrong end of a telescope, I see myself so far below, still and silent. Rest in peace. No. Really say that?
Yes.
You're messing with me.
I'm not.
Alright, well anyway, it's just interesting to think about it because it's...
I thought you would know the lyrics. You don't know the lyrics.
You made this up. No, I don't know the lyrics of these songs that well.
Well, look it up. You might be surprised.
Not going to.
Still and silent. Rest in peace.
Anyway. Yeah, it's rare that we see ourselves from the outside. It feels like the soul is being released as you die. Because, you know, in Disney movies, when the soul comes up, they can see the body.
Yeah. I don't think it's just Disney movies. Yeah. I'm sure I saw that on Touched by an Angel.
Okay. Well, to give you some interpretation or meaning, I interpret this song to be about death, where dying feels like you are finally waking up from life, as if life were a dream, or maybe death is the dream. It really makes you think. What do you think?
Yeah. I agree with all that.
Awesome.
Everything you said.
Well, the song has only been performed twice in 2007. This is a really underrated album.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
A lot of people don't like it. It was weird. None of the critics really liked it that I could read. Actually, I couldn't find one positive review. But the comments in YouTube, you know, and like Bandcamp and stuff were all like, one of my favorite songs. I love this album. It's so underrated.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I don't think I have a least favorite Air album. They're like my children. Those are my children. They heard me talking about them.
So they came in from the bus stop?
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Critic reviews.
So one reviewer said, it features vocals from Neil Hannon of The Divine Comedy. This track was lauded by The Guardian for its serene and dreamlike quality. And some critics say that the song's ability to evoke the delicate space between consciousness and sleep.
It's always so weird when you wake up.
And when you're falling asleep.
Yeah, those are the weirdest moments of your life. Right. You think this is weird. You were singing to me this morning. That was so weird. It took me 5 minutes to realize what just happened.
I thought you liked it. Betrayed.
And then I woke up.
That was the point. You had to get up.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd sing you to... Because if I try to sing you to sleep, you would just hit me.
Are there any alternative versions or covers of this song?
There's only a mashup we could find. Let's take a listen.
Wait, hold on.
Did you put the wrong link in there? Oh.
Sorry. No, what happened was I couldn't find a mashup for this song, but I did find a mashup for Mayfair's song.
From last week?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
What's the best cocktail and pairing for a lost dark what? Somewhere between waking and sleeping.
It's called the Dreamy Earl Grey Martini, and it's a soothing martini made with Earl Grey tea and infused gin, and has honey syrup and lavender bitters.
Okay.
So it's basically Earl Grey tea and vodka, and gin. Sorry, with honey syrup.
All right.
What would you drink? What would you eat with that?
Lavender shortbread.
This is the gayest thing
I've ever heard. Sometimes I forget we're talking about music. Anyway,
speaking of music, let's go to track 11, Redhead Girl. Did this chart at all?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think any of the songs charted.
Oh, that's true. Not a single song. What's your first impression?
It's a nice dreamy song about Lindsay Lohan.
What? It's not really about her.
No. JB said this song is based on the novel Perfume, the story of a murderer by Patrick Susskind. In which a man murders a woman because he is transfixed by her scent and wants to make it into a perfume.
Freaky.
Yeah.
Is that why you're watching
the trailers? Yeah, that was okay. The movie that was based on.
Got it.
And it's funny because the last time I saw that was at the screening. It had like a pre-screening.
And you saw that movie?
Yeah, and there, well, because I got tickets for free. And then there was a woman with a clipboard sitting in the corner. And I think she was like, to get the audience reaction.
Oh.
And at one point, it was weird. I forgot what happened, but someone was like, shh, be quiet. And then someone was like, off in the corner going, shh. And there was like, you be quiet. And then my brother turned to me and he said, she's drawing sad faces on her clipboard now. And it was the funniest thing to me. I don't know why. And then I couldn't stop laughing throughout the film. I had to hold it in.
Thank you for that story.
You're welcome. What? But speaking of this novel, what other musicians has it inspired?
It's inspired other artists. Wait. This novel has inspired other artists' music, such as Nirvana and Rammstein and Marilyn Manson, your girl.
Panic at the Disco, Perfume Genius.
Do you like Perfume Genius?
Yeah, I do.
I do too.
Yeah. So, so it's a popular book. Seems like a lot of rock people though, but still.
It's a genre.
Alright. Production. I want to tell you about it. So there's wind chimes, synths, glockenspiels, koto, and piano. And the bass reminds me of the song Take My Breath Away from Top Gun.
Who sings that song?
Oh, I forgot.
It's Berlin.
Berlin. Did they do the 99 Love Balloons?
No.
Oh.
No, that's sacrilege.
Sorry.
That's why you're watching the video.
Yeah, to see if, like, I had to confirm if that was even right in my head.
And was it?
It was. It kind of sounds like it can be mashed up.
Yeah.
Can you see it?
I can see it.
All right.
I think you should do it.
I'm going to give you...
When are you going to do an album of mashups? But that you'd play yourself. It's a cover of a mashup that you create.
Oh, I think I get what you're saying. Sometimes I have done that in my my covers. I've mashed up songs that are like covers.
It looks like you're in a theater stage.
No. What am I trying to say here? I mashed up two songs, but I covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
I did that.
So when are you doing an album of that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Whenever I get inspired.
Good answer.
Maybe for your birthday.
That's soon. You're going to have to get on it.
Well, we're going to tell you about the lyrics now. And it's when that redhead girl goes by, it's a dream with open eyes. I think that's quite romantic and suave.
Yeah.
A dream with open eyes? I never heard something like that.
In all my years.
That's Like, if you had told me that on our first date.
Yeah. What would you have been
I
like?
I would have fallen over a gospel style.
Because you were so into it? Because you were
got
so
into
scared.
Convulsions.
Okay. Nicholas said that it's basically about having a muse. Do you have a muse?
Oh, geez. Funny you should ask, because I don't.
You don't have a... You don't have an artistic or a creative muse?
No. Do you?
Yeah, I do. Like a few architects and some industrial designers.
So how's that different from people you're influenced by?
You're right. Because a muse is alive.
A muse is someone that inspires you to do a whole piece of work.
Yeah, but somebody, like, an inspiration could inspire you to a whole piece of work. But I think the difference is that you interact with a muse.
I don't know.
No, you were right.
Bernice doesn't want to talk about it anymore.
It's going to be like that from now on.
Yes. I want to tell you about the cultural impact this song had. Not just on me, but on other people.
Okay.
So it was performed 5 times from 2007 to 2008.
What I meant by cultural impact is, did it have an ongoing impact on culture?
No.
Like Nirvana had an ongoing impact in culture, grunge, fashion.
You can't compare Air to Nirvana.
I didn't say it.
Don't you ever. Okay.
And what's this Adelaide thing? Is this a remix, a cover?
Oh yeah, Adelaide. She played piano.
What's she up to?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. This is Adelaide. Adelaide is a place. It's where they played.
Yes, it's in Australia.
You let me go on like that? How could you? All right.
It sounds like one of those drug commercials.
It does. That's why I thought it was a name. It's a pretty name.
It is.
You never meet anyone named Adelaide. Do you?
I feel like it was probably a Westworld name.
Yeah.
I have heard of the name Adeline, but not Adelaide.
Yeah. Adelaide. It sounds like Gatorade.
Yeah. Get laid with Adelaide.
Oh my god. Okay.
What are the critics saying?
This track is often highlighted for its warm, inviting sound.
And Uncut Magazine described it as a tender and melodic piece with its soft instrumentation.
I just feel like this is the kind of album you should play on a first date.
Yeah.
It's easier to talk over, low light, have a scotch.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I was reading there something where they were ranking the albums when I was looking at this one today. And they rank them by how good they are to have sex to.
Oh.
So. Yeah.
I don't... You might want to avoid 10,000 Hertz Legend.
Yeah, I think that was the...
Yeah.
The least.
But Moon Safari is probably the most.
That was number one.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I was saying.
Well, what are the critics saying?
Uncut Magazine described it as a tender and melodic piece with this...
I'm just kidding. We already said that.
You tricked me. What was I saying now?
I don't know. It wasn't related to anything.
I know. I was just saying this is a good album if you want to, like, read a book and study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's relaxing but not sexy.
No. I already said it's good if you're on a date.
No one's looking for any more descriptions.
I am.
What about covers or remixes?
There is a Jack Red remix. This is a... Oh, there's a Jack Red remix. And then there is also a cover by Anastasia.
Yes.
Thank you.
And what are listeners saying?
Oh, God. This is the fourth album.
This is translation from a Japanese review.
Okay.
So just read it.
It's been about 10 years since the first one. There are some songs from the previous album that are conscious of Japan. It looks like Japan, and it's not the world. It's Air Style. Rock and roll. I am constantly fascinated by beautiful songs that come out of Air's worldview. This is also recommend.
It was just translated. Sometimes drug translations don't, you know, aren't completely accurate.
Oh, it's easy listening. This album is easy listening. And
I'll drink to that.
If you want to lounge, it's good for a bar, speakeasy.
All of those things.
It's very relaxing.
And that too. Speaking
of... You know what I hate? Is when speakeasies have, like, really electronic, like, dancey music.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who the fuck is dancing in a speakeasy? Sorry, just had to get that off my chest.
But that's some people's vibe.
I don't like it.
Well...
Get off my lawn. Did you talk about a cocktail already?
No. Let's hear it. What's it called?
Well, the cocktail for Redhead Girl is... Blood, orange, and basil margarita. It's a vibrant margarita with fresh blood orange juice, muddled basil, and a touch of agave. It's bold, bittersweet, and full of warmth, much like the essence of Redhead Girl.
And we would pair this with grilled shrimp tacos.
I would think like a Redhead Girl is when you put red wine with vodka. Right? Or no?
No, like for me, redhead, I think of like country, like maybe red wine with strawberry juice.
Oh, that's nice.
Or like a strawberry wine, like strawberry shortcake.
Oh, like Moscato.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you would pair this with grilled shrimp tacos.
I just...
Okay. So let's go on to the next song.
It's called
Night Sight.
What's your first impression?
This is the last track, and it's a lovely instrumental ambient lullaby. It's like that feeling when you have been far from home for a long time, and then you finally come home and sleep in your own bed. It's surreal bliss. That is my strain of weed as well. That would be awesome.
I feel like I get night sight when I'm high.
Yeah. Night sight and surreal bliss.
Sign me up.
I can play it on piano.
And JB's.
Just so you know, don't forget.
Everyone was asking. JB said this track was improvised and that it sounds like a slow chemical reaction, like
oxidation.
Oxidation is also a term.
Well, not here.
Speaking of being particular, I'm going to talk about production.
Yeah, it's minimal. It has Rhodes piano, synth, and strings by Joby Talbot.
And Nicolas said?
It's very conceptual because you have this Rhodes with our four notes and a synth with seven notes, and they have these circular patterns that occasionally merge. It's a massage for the mind.
Nicolas said that? Crazy.
I would have just said it's surreal bliss.
That's all you need to say.
It's a real bliss.
It could be a perfume. It could be a vodka. It could be a movie.
Say that next time someone says, how you doing? I'm just like, it's a real bliss. What you want?
And then you do that thing where you touch their hand. And now you are one of the 10%. Where is that from?
I don't remember.
Okay. All right, what about the lyrics?
There's no lyrics. This is instrumental. So.
And no music video.
There's no music video. There's no cultural impact, except this has only been performed once at Saint-Georges Pompidou.
Which we walk by every day.
Yeah, Pompidou. Yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah.
And they performed it on April 7, 2007.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be 10 years soon. Wait, it's going to be 20 years soon.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What is that? I don't know. I want to know, though. It sounds like Bad Girls Club. Oh, side of a window.
Sounds like two of your cousins arguing. not your San Francisco cousins. You know, like.
Oh, cousins in general?
Yeah.
I get it. Alright.
What is that?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you about critic reviews, though. A review summary said that as the closing track, Night Sight was praised for its calm and meditative nature. I agree.
Yeah.
And Mojo Magazine called it a perfect ending to the album's enveloping the listener in a soothing nocturnal soundscape that encourages reflection. It's just something you want to listen to when you're taking a bath.
Yeah.
I can listen to it right now on repeat. You know, sometimes you just have those songs to put you to bed.
Sad songs. Adult lullabies. So
that's what this album should have been called. Adult lullabies.
Trademark, copyright.
Yeah. All right.
Is that a thing, adult lullabies?
Maybe. There's a thing for everything these days.
Alternate versions or covers.
Well, Charles Philly did a drum version with added drums. Check it out, Charles Philly.
And there's a cover by Gatto Bus on a Roland MC-101.
Gotta respect.
Word. And what are listeners saying?
One of my favorite air songs, Telemombo Dreme. Dreamy et planant, je dois l'écouter one time, pas seulement depuis sa sortie. I don't know.
What does that translate to?
So beautiful, dreaming and soaring. I have to listen to it once a week since its release.
If the translation was right there, why'd you torture everyone with that? Reading the French version.
I don't know. Lay off. Anyway, what's the best you better tell me about the best cocktail and pairing.
It's called the Midnight Espresso Martini. And it's a rich, smooth espresso martini made with cold brew, vanilla vodka, and a little bit of dark chocolate.
Wait. So why are you drinking an espresso? is night sight?
I had one tonight. We did.
Yeah, but that's not how I feel right now.
Oh.
I would say you just take a sleepy time tea with Lunesta and a blueberry high C.
All those things together?
And a shot of whiskey. Sounds like you can get your stomach pumped.
Well, I was going to say you could pair it with dark chocolate truffles, but now I'd say just...
drinking pills.
Maybe a jar of peanut butter.
Put a sock in it while you're at it.
In the peanut butter?
Oh, dark chocolate truffles.
What'd you think I was talking about?
Thank you. We gotta thank you for coming. Come back. And
every episode we say, we promise it'll be better next time.
You know, like life, it has its ups and downs.
True.
But you know.
Yeah.
It's not exciting right now, but it's gonna get exciting. You better stay and watch.
And it was exciting before.
We're doing new things. We're doing big. I'm excited. So big things. If I'm excited, you need to be excited.
He rarely gets excited about anything.
Yeah. So, email us. We don't get any emails. We want guests. And let us know what you want or what you think.
Yeah. So our email is sonicserial@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It's SONICSERIAL.
Yeah, we know you listen. You just don't want to talk to us. But, you know, stop listening and engage.
How hot would you say you are on a scale of 1 to 100?
Well, last time I said 100, but this time...
Not like 110?
No. 1,000. No. This is getting ridiculous.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.